If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With more than 2 million downloads, this is your number one source for true crime coverage in America. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers Podcast, Murder in the Morning.
And the verdict has finally been rendered in the trial against Robert Tellis. Are you shocked that it took like about 2 days to get this done?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, did they bring in food? Like, was there really good subs? And they're like, let's drag this out. Because to me, it seemed cut and dried that this is what we've got. We've got the evidence. But also, I guess I would rather have it take 2 days and know that they did their due diligence. I guess yeah. I feel better about that. But I also... Why you guys? I want to interview some of these people. Like, what was the hang up? What were you thinking? Where were you?
I can't wait to hear what the hell the hang up was. I really, really do wonder what and why. If somebody was, you know, stuck on the hair thing where yeah. it's like it's a wig. It's like everything else is a dress up thing. It's not far fetched that he's going to put on a wig too.
Yeah.
And then somehow in his twisted mind, he thought that doing that and being so disguised that would throw off the authorities because they would think otherwise. They would think, oh, well, it can't be that person, or we'll never know who that person is. It's so hard to even verbalize his concept of how dumb that idea is. At least that's what he said in court. Now, is it him later going, oh, shit, this was a really stupid idea? Or is he, I think that was his plan all along. This idea that being that disguised would make it look more like a conspiracy and not less.
I think you're right. The whole thing is absurd. I can't imagine a person who actually was as smart as he is. I mean, he's not the brightest bulb in the tree, but he's still a bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Did he really think this was a good idea? I mean, he must have. He went through with it.
I don't know. Siobhan Scott had a word today. I learned a new word in the area that I am always so interested in, narcissism. Narcissistic collapse.
Oh, do tell.
It's basically when the narcissist... you know, really, truly has their back to the wall and they're not going to be able to manipulate their way out of something and they're getting called on the carpet and it's going to have an impact on them and they know that there's just no way of lying about it, which is hard sometimes because a lot of times narcissists will think they can. It doesn't work out, but it's rare when they fully grasp that concept of, you know, this is the end. And I think he grasped that with the reporting of Jeff Gurman, where he was exposing his affair. He was calling him out on so many things. I mean, he was ruining his life. By exposing his life. So, I mean, and you're a public official. Yeah, that's going to happen. And it's not Robert Tellis's fault, but in his mind, I think it is. Or the good Jeff Gurman's fault. I think in Tellis's mind, if he just didn't get caught, you know, everything would be fine and it doesn't matter. And there's just, I don't think a level of empathy or acceptance for what he did in his mind.
It makes me wonder. You know, you look around the people that you work with, and a lot of people work from home now, so maybe that's not an issue any longer, but are there people who could just snap? I mean, you and I worked in some really interesting places with people who are horrific backstabbers.
Yeah. That's essentially a narcissistic collapse. I mean, it can present in different ways, but it can be a just utter, you know, shit show where it's whatever extreme they'll go to, turning violent or just them just completely losing it.
So it's more of their narcissistic ability to freak the fuck out, basically, versus they're a cold, calculated killer. It's they're just backed into the corner. There is no other option, and they lose their shit.
Yeah, I think it's something like this. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Well, makes sense. You and I have worked with a lot of people like this. I'm surprised we haven't seen more of that up close.
Yeah. No, I agree. Robert Tellis, 47, served as the Clark County Public Administrator, who was convicted of fatally stabbing Jeff Gurman, a veteran journalist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, in September of 22. The murder followed a series of articles by Gurman that exposed turmoil and alleged misconduct within Tellis's office. According to prosecutors, Tellis, worried about an upcoming article, disguised himself in a large sun hat and orange blaze orange vest.
Yes, don't forget that.
And his signature cheap Nikes, and waited outside Gurman's house before attacking him. Yes, he picked the most obvious thing you could possibly wear to get attention to murdering Jeff Gurman. Maybe he wanted the attention because it's like, look what I'm going to do, motherfuckers. You know, if you're a narcissist like that, there's no length, I guess, you won't go to get the attention. I don't think it's necessarily a conscious thing that they do. I just think this is how they operate. I think it's like they sit there and plot this. I think this is just how they operate.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that they would sit there and think to themselves, well, this will draw attention to me. I mean, if you're going to murder somebody, you kind of don't want to get caught.
No,
I would think.
No, I think it's every single thing. I mean, with a kind of a grandiose narcissist like this guy is, and this is to an extreme here. I think he's probably more sociopath than narcissist, but they'll go to whatever extreme there is just to be heard. And they're not looking at it as like, oh, I got to think about this. And it's like, how can I get attention with this? How can I get attention with that? That's just how they think. And others may walk into a situation going, who can I get to know here? At this gathering, I wonder who I'm going to meet, things like that. They're walking in, just their operative mode is draw attention to myself. It's how I feel good. It's just so they just do it. It's like just second nature with a grandiose type narcissist. There's covert and all those other ones that can be far more sneaky. But Tellis is not a good grandiose narcissist. His expressions are fucking insane.
Oh man, they're completely outrageous. And I just don't, are expressions going to change a juror's mind? No.
No.
They're not.
No. But they sure, well, I don't know. In this case, I think it was a huge piece of the story to me because you could read this, how fake he was being. Unlike everything, I could tell, like, the guy just doesn't have empathy. He just struck me as a very crazy human being in the loosest of terms. But, obviously there's something very wrong with that man mentally for allowing him to do what he did, the way he could sit there and lie about it and really just have no empathy. I mean, look, he was crying in court because he saw pictures of himself.
Yeah.
Like, that was the moment.
Do you think he'll ever fess up?
No. No, I do not think he will ever fess up. I almost wonder if he's convinced himself that he didn't do it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and that's such a narcissist thing to do.
Yeah.
Or if in his mind he did do it, well, Jeff had it coming.
Yes.
He was going to destroy his life. So it's justification.
It's justified. And that's probably more where it is. I don't know. I mean, the guy seems a bit delusional, but I don't know. I would think that, yeah, typically if it's there, it's not like this didn't happen. Notice it's not, I didn't do this. It's not, this didn't happen, but it happened for a reason. And if it's justified to them, there's nothing wrong with it.
What a weird way to live, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up. Prosecutor Christopher Hammer explained the motive behind the murder. He murdered him because Jeff's writing destroyed his career, it destroyed his reputation, it threatened probably his marriage, and exposed things that even he admitted he did not want the public to know. He did it because Jeff wasn't done writing. I wonder what Jeff was going to be writing.
Yeah, because he already exposed some really wicked stuff. What was left?
Well, that's another good question. The prosecution presented a strong case, bringing in about 24 witnesses and leveraging a combination of video footage and physical evidence to link Tellis to the crime. Key evidence included images of a man in a sun hat matching Tellis's description near the scene, a maroon vehicle connected to Tellis, and DNA found under Gurman's fingernails. The evidence was critical in piecing together the timeline and the actions leading up to the murder. In a twist, Tellis chose to testify in his own defense, vehemently denying any involvement in the crime. I want to say unequivocally, I am innocent. I didn't kill Mr. Gurman, Tellis asserted in court. He presented a theory that he'd been framed by a real estate company, allegedly upset by changes he was making in his office. Tellis claimed the company hired an assassin to kill Gurman and make it appear as though he was the culprit. Despite Tellis' claims, the jury was not convinced by the conspiracy theory defense and found him guilty of murder, marking an end to the 2-week trial that's captured the national attention. The murder of Jeff Gurman, a journalist known for his fearless reporting on the darker sides of Sin City, including mobsters, corrupt officials, and government agencies, has understood the dangers faced by journalists worldwide, even in the United States. The Committee to Protect Journalists notes that Gurman's death part of a troubling trend, with 14 journalists killed in the U.S. since 1992. Is that a trend? That doesn't seem like a whole lot in 30 years.
There's a lot of negativity toward the press these days. And I don't want to turn things political, but there's journalists are being made out to be the enemy of the state, so to speak.
Sure. But they have pretty much forever. I mean, not to this level, but... But going all the way back to 92, it just, I don't know. I'm not trying to make the test sound not important. I just don't know that it's like a growing trend. I don't know. I bet to see like at the timeline, if there's a whole bunch clustered together and it leads up to today, yes, that's a trend.
I think we've got more of an issue going on in other countries. I think here in the United States, journalists are a little more safe. They're insulted frequently, yeah, but they're not necessarily killed. In other countries, they're taken out.
Sure, sure.
They're held captive or they're just flat out murdered. So, mm-hmm. Our stats here in the United States might be very, very different.
Yeah. Gurman, who was 69, spent decades uncovering the secrets of Las Vegas, for a city notorious for its underbelly of crime and corruption. His death has prompted a lot of conversations about safety, obviously, of journalists like we're talking about here, and the increasing threats that they face out there. Yeah, I would not want to be an investigative reporter. See, I always thought it to be fun. I always wanted to be like John Stossel, because what were you doing as a child and a teenager on Friday night at 9 o'clock, Tony, watching 2020 with Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs? And I always liked investigative journalism. I still do. But yeah, you put your fucking ass on the line to do some of these things.
Oh yeah, you start nosing around where people don't want anybody, shining light on things. Yep. Yeah, you're going to become a target. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. It's a dangerous field.
Yeah.
And you have to have a lot of courage to just really get in there and dig in, you know?
Yeah, and we don't have as many as we used to, and that's where we have, I think, a lot more problems in our city governments, and we're having, I mean, there's a lot of things, obviously, that are going on, but mm-hmm. we don't have those sort of things anymore. And without truth being held to power, people run amok, even in small situations in small towns. Those are some of the, I think, most difficult sometimes. We hear some stories where it's like you wouldn't believe the corruption in this town or that town. Why? Because there's nobody there to expose it, and there's nobody there that's gonna change it. All you got today, basically, in most small towns are, if there's much of a media presence, it's in a larger city, or you got podcasts now, which there's only so many podcasters to go around to expose all the corruption in all these little dotted territories.
Newspapers are closing. People are finding news and information in different sources now. So the traditional version of an investigative reporter, it's changed. It's now podcasters.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just, maybe we have more of them now, the way I kind of think of it. They're just not in traditional media.
Yeah, it's very possible. They're not sitting at your local newspaper, with a pen behind their ear. Yeah. They're sitting in their bedroom or their living room with a microphone now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's different.
Well, and the ones that don't even do podcasts, just investigate and just dig and dig and dig that get caught up in a certain case. I think maybe you do have more, maybe not like official, but you have more people digging into things if you can shine a light on it. And there's, I think, an ease to shine a light on it if you want to. It wouldn't be that hard in a lot of cases.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah. There you go. Guilty for Mr. Bold Man. Mr. Robert.
Megamind.
Megamind. That's the name of it. I was
driving Tony nuts the other day because, and I can't take credit for this. I wish I could, but I can't. Somebody in the chat on one of the live streams said, "Oh, Megamind has some thoughts," and I just burst out laughing like uncontrollable. Remember Megamind? It was Will Ferrell, I think, who played the cartoon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was a movie, Megamind, and I think Tina Fey was in there too. But Megamind, if you don't know who Megamind is, go look him up. It looks like Robert Tallis, and I feel bad, but
I don't. He's a horrible human being. That sentencing phase of it going on, yesterday by the time you hear this, but we'll be talking about that probably tomorrow, or at least touching on it. Because they're doing it the same day. Although I think that could take longer. I think the jury does go and deliberate for a bit. So that could take another day or two in theory.
Now, he's not up for the death penalty. He's just up for life.
Are you asking that question?
Yeah, I guess. I don't think they have the death penalty there.
And they're in Nevada? I don't know the answer to that question, but
I don't think
I know somebody that does. And the last name is GPT. Does
have, yeah, but can you believe it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
that's a pretty easy one. It does have the death penalty.
Oh dear. Okay. Well, I don't know. Oof.
Is he up? Is it a capital case though?
I don't think it is. That's the next thing I'm going to look at. Robert Tallis. Sorry, mechanical keyboard is making a lot of noise.
He's not facing the death penalty.
It's interesting when they talked about him being guilty, it was like elder abuse as well. I just wonder, why isn't he up for the death penalty? If you're killing somebody over the age of 70 or 69, is it? 60? 65? I don't know what it was.
But
69.
Okay.
That's suddenly elder related.
Okay. And
you would think there would be a harsher sentence for that.
You would. The decision depends on various facts. They didn't really say why, but the prosecution just didn't seek the death penalty. So he's up for life in prison or up to life in prison. So we'll see. Life in prison and all the hats he can wear.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's
it's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant.
But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.